I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 34 this morning. This is the account of the death of Moses. Now, Moses was probably the greatest leader in the history of mankind. You can just imagine leading somewhere around 1 million people out of a country, and a journey that was supposed to take something like 11 days took 40 years, and he at times got a little exasperated. God had called him to lead Israel out of bondage in Egypt, out of slavery and into freedom in their own country, the land of Canaan. But because of Moses' sin of disobedience to God, God's command to him in the wilderness of Zin, and if you remember that, in the wilderness of Zin, the people complained that there was no water, and God told Moses to touch this certain rock and water would flow out. And Moses did, I can relate to Moses on this one, he probably lost his temper. And he grabbed his rod and whacked this rock with his walking stick, and the water came out anyway. And maybe Moses figured he got away with it, but he didn't. Because of that, God had told him that he would never go into the promised land, which shows us that God takes obedience to him and his word very seriously. So here's Israel about to cross the Jordan River into the promised land when God takes Moses away from them. So let's read Deuteronomy 34, where it says, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day." And just an aside there, why do you suppose nobody knows where Moses' grave is? Probably so that people wouldn't go there and make shrines to Moses and worship him. Verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power, and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel." So Moses brought Israel out of bondage in Egypt and led them all the way to the border of the land of Canaan, and then he died. And in all of this event, right from the Exodus right to this point, 40 years, God was giving the people a picture or an example of the law, showing them that the law made nothing perfect. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, there it says, "For the law made nothing perfect." And then it goes on to say, "On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." So there's something better than the law. The law brings people into the wilderness of conviction, but not into the promised land of rest and peace. The law cannot save us. The wilderness here represents the law, which shows us God's requirement of us and also shows us that it's impossible to do it. You cannot keep the law. The promised land represents salvation, being at peace with God, standing before him in righteousness. The privilege of leading the people into the land was given to Joshua. He is a picture or an example of Jesus, the Messiah. And he's a good one because he even has the same name as Jesus, because Jesus' correct name in Hebrew is Yehoshua. Jesus does for us what the law could not do. God is a God of justice. The price of sin had to be paid before anyone could enter into God's eternal rest. Jesus came and paid that price. He shed his own innocent, pure blood at Calvary for the remission of all of the sins of the entire world. Romans 8, 3 and 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Only Jesus can lead us into the promised land of God's forgiveness. God chose Moses to lead Israel out of bondage. He led them out, and he defeated the enemies that were before them. He was their leader, and he became their lawgiver, and he also was their judge. Jesus, our Savior, came to rescue us from the slavery of Satan and sin and to restore us to freedom. While Moses came to give Israel the law, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus was obedient to every word of God's law. And only Jesus could do that because Jesus is God. Jesus is also our judge. If you go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, there it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Moses and Joshua were great leaders. They lived their lives well, and they both finished well. But the greatness of Jesus Christ makes Moses and Joshua pale in comparison. They were human leaders, and they were very good ones. But Jesus is far superior to all others. Only Jesus can lead us out of the bondage of sin and into the freedom of God's forgiveness and righteousness. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.